The life of the church is the Mass and the sacraments. I want you to think about that for a moment. The life of the church is the Mass and the sacraments. That means our life as Christians, our vitality, our energy, our encouragement, our very sustenance comes from the celebration of the Mass and the seven sacraments. So in that way, we need to see them in celebratory terms. We need to realize that we must celebrate them, find joy in them, find life in them, live them well. The question is, how do we celebrate them? Let's start out with one that's very easy, baptism. How many know your baptismal date? And then from there, how many of you that know it celebrate that day? That is the day you became a Christian. That's the day you entered the church. That's the day that new life flooded into you. That should be a day of great joy, a day to remember. And that's why it's so important to not just know the sacraments, but to live them. The ancient Greeks knew this, and they characterized it with a very specific Greek word that would indicate that it's something that happened in the past and continued, its effects continued into the present. So it's not as though the sacraments are once and done. Their effects continue in our lives as long as we live them and cultivate that. And they should bring us great joy. Each of these are expressions of God's mercy, avenues through which we experience His grace. For instance, baptism is the easy one because that's where we receive new life. That's where we're washed clean from original sin and brought into the life of God. Penance is that sacrament that once we've been baptized and screwed up again, we have a way to be forgiven, a way to experience God's mercy again and again and again, knowing that we can restart, knowing that we can be forgiven, knowing that we have an avenue for mercy. Then we have confirmation, which I'll talk about in a moment, because two of my churches are having confirmations this weekend, so all of you get to hear about confirmation. And then the Eucharist. We see the Eucharist as more of a mundane thing, but really it's the consummation and the summation of our Christian faith. This is the moment that after being initiated and prepared for it, we receive God's body and blood into our own bodies. Think about the profoundness of that. We can take Him into ourselves and become like Him. It's a profound moment of encounter and one that we should celebrate with great joy. The anointing of the sick is a sacrament in which we feel the healing power of Christ whenever we're sick, infirm, or old, and so therefore we recognize that God heals. The sacraments of holy orders and marriage are vocational, that we realize that as we follow God and become expressions of His great love and mercy to the world, we get graces from that. We're more likely to celebrate anniversaries than any of the other sacraments, which is kind of sad. Baptism is the most important one, but yet we focus on marriage and priesthood, pivotal moments in which we said our yes. Now this comes to an important point, which is confirmation. I focus on confirmation because, as I said, I'm confirming people this weekend, but we also don't realize how profound and important that sacrament is. We thought of it kind of like an end point, or maybe just kind of a thing in passing, something we ought to do. But confirmation is the fine finishing of our baptism. It's the sealing of the graces that came with baptism. It's the infusion of the Holy Spirit upon us. We should be super excited about that fact. God's Spirit dwells in and with us, guiding us, strengthening us, helping us. This is the sacrament of confirmation. The question is, do you remember your confirmation date? Ooh, that's a little harder, much harder. Or celebrate that fact that we have God's life in us. That's something immensely profound. Now, the sacrament of confirmation has often been called the sacrament seeking a theology. I vehemently disagree with that, and the more I reflect on the beauty of that sacrament, the more I see its underpinnings in the early church, as we saw from our first reading today. When Jesus came on the scene at the baptism of John, everyone was being baptized, which means cleansed with water. Not all that exciting at that moment, but John made a point that we often forget. He said, "I baptize with water, but he who comes after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit," showing the two parts that come with baptism, water and fire. As we progress forward into the New Testament, we get to the apostles, the Acts of the Apostles, in which at Pentecost, fire came down upon them, that fulfillment of what John prophesied and what Jesus had already told us, that he would send the fire of the Holy Spirit upon us. So as we wander through the Acts of the Apostles, especially during the Easter season, it becomes almost unclear how the Spirit works because the Spirit does whatever it wants. Sometimes it comes down upon a whole group of people. Sometimes it comes upon those who are newly baptized. Sometimes it comes randomly upon people and they do various things. The Spirit does what the Spirit wants. But the Acts of the Apostles and the early apostles always chronicled baptism and the Spirit together as one. They saw that first you're washed with water, and that God sent His Spirit down upon the newly baptized. And that was a fulfillment. That was the newly initiated. This person is now a Christian. Therefore, we get the beginnings of confirmation. As we progress into the Middle Ages, it gets a little bit more complicated, because the sacrament of confirmation was attached with the bishops, and yet priests became more prominent by that point. So that means confirmation got moved out of its normal context with baptism and into 7 or 8 years old, whenever the bishop could make it. And it's fun to read the stories of the Middle Ages, because during the Middle Ages, it was rare that a bishop would come through, because, you know, it takes a lot more to travel. So whenever people heard that a bishop was coming, the parents would send all their kids to the road where the bishop was, and as he would travel by, he'd lay their hands on each of them as he went, and therefore they're confirmed. Kind of fun to see where things were. As we head into the modern era, we push confirmation even further into middle school or high school years, thinking and then connecting it with graduation. That it's like the fulfillment of your life as a child, now you're a fully fledged adult, congratulations, go do your thing. Which is unfortunate, because then it led to this idea of, I'm done, I am finished, I have been initiated, I can do whatever I want now. Which is so sad, because it loses that whole vigor that comes with the Spirit upon us. It loses the vigor of the rest of the sacraments that sustain us. Because now that those people are fully initiated, the Eucharist is our sustenance. It's our spiritual food that continues to feed us through the rest of our life. But although I've taken this purview through history, I do want to come back to the idea of what is the sacrament of confirmation? What does it mean that the Spirit is upon us? As we saw from our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, when the apostles gathered together, they didn't just gather. What they gathered was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that final line is that important part. They felt guided by the Spirit. This is one of the elements of confirmation, that when we realize that the Spirit is with us, that we have been imbued with the very life of God, we also realize He guides and directs us. He helps us along. So after being imbued with the Spirit, we can now realize that in our lives. We can hear His voice in a more prominent way and feel the promptings and urgings as God guides us through this life, helping us to realize His presence. Which leads to our second reading from the first letter of St. John, which made another profound point. It's not as though we're looking out for the Spirit. Quite the opposite. I use my words very carefully. We are imbued with the Spirit. We go deep within ourselves, to our deepest core, the center of our soul, because our soul is the very life of God, His Spirit in us. We go inside to find our God in that quiet, still place, and that's where the Spirit takes its form, where we hear His voice most prominently. And John knew this. So do us who really experience the joys of confirmation, knowing that we have God's life in us. But there's more than that. These are very internal. They're very oriented on ourselves. That's not confirmation. That's the beginnings of it. What really confirmation does is it gives us a mission, a purpose, a goal, something we ought to do as Christians. As Jesus tells us in our gospel, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Unless you bear fruit, you're going to be chopped up. Yeah, I've paraphrased a little bit. But nevertheless, it shows that we as Christians are bound to bear fruit. What is this fruit? It's our spiritual works, the good we do for the world, the way we pray, the works of mercy we give to the world, and most importantly, our job to bring more people into the mercy and grandeur of God, to graft them onto Him and make them His children. Which means confirmation as a sacrament gives us that mission. We are to go out. We are to find the people. We are to, as people with this new life, bring it to the world and transform the world by our very actions. This is the last joy, because the Spirit does what the Spirit wants, and we are the instruments of the Spirit's bidding. Therefore, confirmation gives us that. So how do we live confirmation? How do we live it with joy? Well, it's easy. Live your faith. Live it well. Live it joyfully. Like St. Philip Neri, who, a jokester that he was, lived it in such a way that everyone saw his joy. We need to learn our faith and understand it well so we can speak well and speak eloquently. Or if nothing else, pray well so we can trust God to speak for us. Either one works. And then most importantly, realize that as people imbued with God's Spirit, we should be impassioned and excited to go out to the world and do something different. Make the world a radically better place. Make it in God's image. Bring it back to its fullness. Call people to the new life we've all experienced and would love for other people to experience it well. This is how we celebrate confirmation. This is how we celebrate that wonderful sacrament that imbued us with God and gave us that relationship that showed us God is within us, guiding us, strengthening us, and will be with us always until the end of the age.